We have our new lesson today. We're going into session 8, when scheduled prayer. Wow. And I got to tell you, I really enjoyed this one too. It's like I always come and says, oh, I'm excited. But I really enjoyed this one. And it's about, scheduled prayer. So we'll open with prayer. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God. Father, we had a snowy week, but we thank you for the snow because, again, it tells us that you are faithful, that promise, Lord, because you said as long as the earth remains, there will be summer, winter, springtime, and harvest, Lord. And we thank you for the faithfulness of it, Lord God, that summer had to end because you said so, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come, Lord God. Yes. We understand it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, Lord. So, oh, Lord, and if your Spirit doesn't come, Lord, we might as well go home, Lord God. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and move in us. Change us from the inside out, Lord God, as Jackie Velasquez sings, Lord, there I am before the love that changes me, Lord God. We pray that we would be changed, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that you would change us, Lord God, from the inside out, Lord God. And we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, and Lord, we always expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going into scheduled prayer, session 8. And our key scripture is from Mark 6:46, and it says, after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. And that just talks about how Jesus had scheduled prayer. And if Jesus had scheduled prayer, what do you think about you and I having prayer scheduled? So your lesson says, it says there are times in life when you may feel motivated to pray. It may be because of a stressful situation, a loss, fear, or a need. This strong motivation may be the Holy Spirit compelling you to bombard heaven and invite God into the situation for yourself or another. But, oh boy, here we go. But prayer should also be something that is part of your daily schedule. Folks, when everything's going good, when you're being blessed, Lord, when your paycheck is great, when you got money in the bank, prayer should still be a part of your daily life. In fact, I sometimes think it's harder to pray when things are going good than when things are going hard. When things are hard, yes, you're automatically on your knees. But what about when things are going good? Everybody's acting right. Your kids are behaving. You know, you're getting along with people. That's when we tend not to pray because, oh, well, everything is good. What do I have to pray for? Oh, keep it going, folks. Always keep that connection with God going. Prayer should be something that's a part of your daily schedule. And not just before meals or when going to bed. Uh-oh. We're talking about a time set aside solely to focus on the Lord and your relationship with him. You know, and I'm talking to myself too, because I said, Lord, I never want to be too busy. But sometimes those days get so busy and hectic and you're just rushing through and you forget to pray. But Fox, I'm finding out that if I would just stop and take that time, oh my, it changes me. Mm-hmm. And my whole day, goes better because it changes me from the inside out. And then all those things I have to do through the day comes out so much better. You know, I'm better in there doing these things because I took the time to invite the Holy Spirit into my day. So I thank God for that. I think Pastor Steve was talking about D.L. Moody last week, and he said, and D.L. Moody was saying that he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost every day because he leaks. And I love that. I said, yes, Lord, I leak too. By the end of the day, man, I'm just like, I've been messing and fooling with these people all day long, Lord, and I have leaked out. And I need another filling of your Holy Spirit for the day. You know, so there's a reason why Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Your lesson says to establish and maintain any relationship, scheduled time must be spent together. Families have scheduled time together, a time of day when they will all be together, interact. Usually that's at the dinner table. people schedule dates with each other so that they will have a specific time and place to spend together, to get to know each other, to grow their relationship. This is just what we do. Time in a relationship is like water to a plant. Without the time, the relationship will shrivel and die. Let me say that again. Without the time, the relationship will shrivel and die. You may even be going through the motions of a relationship with God, but if you have not watered it, it is dying or dead. You know, and sometimes we just still go through the motions, you know, of a relationship with God, and our relationship is not there. You know, I mean, the one thing I love about our God is that he fills us with his spirit. Oh, it's more than just going through the motions of, you know, I do this and I go to church and it's the filling of his spirit within us. That's why Jesus died, so that we could have his spirit within us. In Matthew 15, 8 and 9, Jesus said this: "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, for they teach as doctrines the precepts of men." There's a lot in that scripture there. Prayer is the water to your relationship. Prayer reveals to you the heart of God. See, it's God knows your heart. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You live the doctrines and the precepts of men, even though you say you know me and you love me, but yet you live the doctrines of men. So how can we know anything else? We live among men. We were born into the human race. How can we know anything else? Through prayer. That's the only way you're going to know the heart of God, is as you get into his word and get into prayer. And prayer reveals to you the heart of God. It reveals to you what God wants. God wants your heart in line with his more than he wants empty worship. He doesn't want you just going through the motions. You know, he would rather you just, as Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but I see their heart, and it is far from me. I see how they live. I see how they behave. I see how they talk, but yet they come and they worship me, you know, because they don't know my heart. And the only way you're going to know God's heart is in prayer. And it just happens, you know, as you make that effort to pray, something changes inside you, guys. I can't tell you 5 steps to knowing the heart of God or 10 steps to growing up in grace. I can't tell you that. All I know is that as you start to spend purposeful, scheduled time with God, something changes in you. You become different and you don't even realize that you're different. Something is happening. Your spirit, it goes into a rumble, if you will. You feel this rumbling, you know, that comes out in your life and you didn't even know it was going to happen. But it's because you're spending time with God. Your life begins to display your true relationship with God, or your prayer life. You can tell, you know, when you have a scheduled prayer life, you can tell when people are praying and when people are not. You can just tell it. You can feel it on them that they have a prayer life. They just kind of, you know, you can watch them and you see their demeanor and you see how they project, and you're like, no, okay, this person is in prayer. You know, they've been praying with God. So we want to be sure that we are developing that relationship. So you want to display your true relationship with God and not follow the precepts of God. And you got to ask yourself, what is your life's doctrine? How do you live? How do you respond to conflict? Just ask honest question. When you have a conflict, and we all can remember a conflict, a recent conflict, how did you respond? And that tells you your doctrine. As Jesus said, a doctrine is the way you live. It is what you live by. And it says, for they teach as doctrines the precepts of men, not the precepts of God, but the precepts of men. And you teach it by what you live. You know, what you live teaches people more than anything than what you say. Do you know that? Your children watch what you live. People watch what you live. They may know you might have the label of Christian on you, but they watch what you live. That's what you're teaching people. So you got to be sure, what is your doctrine for life? You know, that's just an honest question that you have to answer yourself. And if it's, Lord, I'm still living like I used to live, I haven't changed very much, then that's what this lesson is all about. We're going to get into that. And how do we change that? In these verses, your lesson says, Jesus is addressing the deadness of religion without relationship with God. There's nothing wrong with religion, but that religion has to have relationship with God. That's the foundation of your religion, is your relationship with God. Religion without relationship with God is void of love. Oh, haven't you seen that? We've seen that, folks. People that are going through the motions of religion, but it's void of love. There's no love there. God is love. Oh, boy, and that's in 1 John 4:8. Scheduled prayer establishes and maintains the love for God and the love. I'm sorry. Scheduled prayer established and maintains the love for God and the love of God in your religion. So as you're scheduled your prayer, it maintains and establishes the love of God within your religion. You know, your religion. What is your religion? Christianity. Well, Christianity, the whole foundation of Christianity is Christ. And the whole foundation of Christ is love. You know, but we can go through the motions of serving in the Christian church and doing all of our Christian things. We go to worship and we do our worship and we give our money and we do all of this. But is the love of God there in your religion? Do you love people? And that's where it's going to come down to, is if you truly love people. The scripture says, and this is 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love has not become acquainted with God. Oh, isn't that hard? Isn't that tough? Isn't that difficult? The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God. There's a handout right there, back there, Kalina. Does not and never did know him. Boy, that's kind of severe. But if God is love and you say that you've accepted him into your life, there should be some manifestation of his love in your life. So it says the one who does not love doesn't know God. It's as plain as that. You know, it's not, you don't have to, you know, eye people. You don't have to do any recon on them or do any secret kind of monitoring on them. Just see if they love. And that's how you know if God is there, if the Christ is there. The scripture goes on to say, for God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature. It doesn't change. He is always love. And I tell you, the more you grow in God, the more you're going to love. You won't even understand why. I'm telling you guys what I know. You won't even understand why. You'll look back to where you were 20, 30 years ago, and you'll be like, I wasn't like this before. I've changed. I didn't even recognize when it was happening, but something happened in me. And now I'm changed, and I'm different. And the difference always will come down to that you love more and you love better because God is love. And it's amazing to me, even in Christendom, how we fail to love each other, how easily we're offended and break ties with each other. It blows my mind. You know, there are people in other countries that can't even worship God out loud. They're doing praise and worship in silence, going through the motions of praising without making a noise for fear that they would lose their life and all that we have. And we break apart over a little offense. She didn't look at me right. She didn't talk to me right. She didn't answer my text. She didn't answer my phone call. She didn't come to my thing. Oh, my God. How easily we break ties with each other when we say that God is love. I'm telling you, love. Oh, just read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Oh, that we could stop right there. Love is patient. It waits. It endures. I'm telling you, we have to understand what it is to love each other, how easily we are offended. If you're failing to love, you need more time in prayer. Let me say it again. If you are failing to love, you need more time in prayer. You know, and this is not an insult to anybody, because we all have failed to love, me included.
Yes.
Failed to love. And I needed more time in prayer. I needed more time. I loved. I had God's love, but I needed more of it, because when times got hard, guess what? Old Karen came out. Mean Karen came out. As I talk about, Mean Karen showed up, honey, and she took care of business. And she needed more time in prayer. And don't you know, the Holy Ghost told me too. You know, as I was sitting there justifying myself after I had told everybody off, the Holy Ghost says, you need more time in prayer. You need to, as the old song says, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You know, we talked about I come into Jesus meeting. I didn't come into Jesus meeting. Because I needed more time with him, because he is love, and I couldn't justify myself. I need more time with prayer. So if you're failing to love, you need to recognize I need more time to pray. Even if you have scheduled prayer, you need more scheduled time. You need more time. You can be taught, you can be preached to, but there is a certain movements of the Holy Spirit that will only come to you in prayer. I can sit here, you can come to Sunday school class every week and you can hear me just talk. You can sit in service and you can hear Pastor Steve preach and everybody else preach. You can sing on the praise team. You can do all these things that you're doing. But there are certain movements of the Holy Ghost that are only going to happen in your prayer closet, folks. That scheduled time that you have with him to meet with him, it'll come. And the love of God will come to you in those moments. The Holy Spirit will start moving in you, and you'll start changing. And it comes with that scheduled time, folks. There's something about that scheduled time. It was like it's a standing appointment with Jesus Christ, and he's going to meet you there every morning. And we already talked about having a place. You should have a place for your scheduled prayer in your home. As I said, you got a place where you cook. You have a place where you bathe. You have a place where you sleep. You need to have a place where you pray. Where is your prayer place? You know, we went through that whole War Room series, and you remember the movie? Man, Sister Girl cleaned out a closet. You know, cleaned out the closet, took all, and had a closet, you know, and had all her little prayers up there. It makes a difference. I'm telling you, God will meet you. Oh, in that place where you meet him, it'll become special to you and special to him. Your prayer closet, your place where you meet him, the place where you cry out. You want to become acquainted with God. That was always a question in my mind. Lord, when I get to heaven, will I know you? Will I be acquainted with you? I mean, I know I'll know who you are, but will I be acquainted with you? Will we have something to talk about? You know, I don't know if you think about that, but will you have something to talk about with Jesus? Lord, remember back in 2005 when I went through, and remember when you, oh boy, I just want to have some conversations with him about some stuff, you know? But it's only if you're having those experiences, if you're inviting him into the experiences now. Then you have something to talk about. You want to become acquainted with God. He wants to be a part of your life. That's why he sent his son, so that you can have those personal relationship with Jesus. Your lesson says, the question you must answer is, although I have accepted God, have I become acquainted with God? Oh, wow. Do I love as he does? Am I familiar with the person I have committed my life to? Do you really know him? I know you've read the stories about him. I know you've read the word. You've read all the things that he did in the Old and New Testament. You've seen, heard all the things that God did. But do you really know him? Are you acquainted with him? And we all have to become acquainted with him, because we were all born in sin. We were all raised on a sinful planet. That's why we need the Word of God. And that's why we have to grow in Him, because we have to get to know who He is. After mankind was severed from God in the garden, something happened. We went adrift. It was like we were adrift at sea until Jesus came. And Jesus was our lifeline back to Him. And so we have to keep coming back to Him. Each and every one of us, in our own way, in our own time, we come back to the Lord. We have to become acquainted with Him once again. There is a seeking of Him that comes after salvation that is necessary. We don't just get saved and park. There is a seeking and a growing that comes after salvation. And it's a necessary work that He's trying to do in you after salvation. The scripture says, and this is Philippians 1:6, you've heard it, and it says, "And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up until the time of His return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you." That's the Amplified. That's the classic Amplified. And it's just a beautiful word saying that He's begun a good work in you. And He's continuing to perform that good work in you. Until He comes again, He's going to perform that good work. I heard Joyce Meyer say one time that she feels she's going to have some Bible studies going on up in heaven. She said, "I think I'm going to be teaching some lessons up in heaven." And I said, "You know what? She just might be right, because we got to learn what it's like to be children of the living God. I think it's going to be much easier in heaven, because we won't have all these demons to fight all the time." But I thought that was kind of interesting, because there's something, we have to grow in Him, and we have to grow in grace, as the scripture says, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this happens in the prayer closet, folks. Yes, you have your word, the word absolutely, and we're going to get on the importance of the word. They go hand in hand. But that prayer time, that time before the Lord, just you and God, you know, corporate prayer is wonderful. But there is an intimacy that God wants with you in particular. And that happens in that prayer time, in that scheduled time, that standing appointment that you keep with God every day. As we were born in sin, we need His development after salvation. We need to become acquainted with who He is. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know. I don't care if you were raised in the church. I don't care if, you know, you sat in the pews all your life. And, you know, comes a personal relationship. And you can't know Him through people. You can't know God through the pastor. You can't know God through the Sunday school teacher. You can't know God through your husband. You can't know God through, you know, your mama. You know, a lot of us, we know God through mama. Mama prayed, so I'm fine. No, you better start praying for yourself. You know, because one day Jesus is going to be taking mama home. And you better learn now how to pray for yourself. There comes a time when you have to learn how to pray. Cece Winans sings this song, "I Pray That You Pray." And I love that song. "Well, I pray you pray." That's my prayer for you, is that you pray. Not that I'm praying for you all the time, but that I pray that you pray, that you grow up in prayer. That's what these classes are all about, guys. Growing up and praying, you know, not kicking the devil out of your home and out of your life, and getting the victory in your life, and standing in strength and standing in power. That's what we want to do. And that scheduled prayer, that standing appointment, I'm telling you, it makes a difference in your life. The next point in your lesson says, scheduled prayer brings acquaintance with God. So let's go into this a little deeper. Acquaintance with God happens in the secret place, the prayer closet. David wrote, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's Psalm 91:1, one of my favorite psalms. In the secret place. And we're going to break this scripture down just a little bit here. The first point says, what does it mean to dwell in somebody's shadow? Wow, let's talk about that, because it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow." So let's talk about the shadow for a minute. Shadowing means to be near enough to fall within the shade of someone's presence, near enough to watch them and hear them. It also means that they stand between you and the heat of the sun. They take the full brunt of responsibility while you are protected. Hallelujah. When you meet with God in your secret place, you come under his shadow and you are protected. Oh, hallelujah. You see how that all hooks together? He who dwells in the secret place, when you come to him in the secret place, you'll abide under his shadow. As you walk out of your secret place, that shadow goes with you. You understand? It's like God's shadow goes with you when you come into the secret place. They're tied together. Shall abide, under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, that he takes that, the heat of the sun, the things that are coming at you for the day. Boy, he takes it. He's already in front of you. He's like, he's your rear guard, the Bible says, and he goes before you. You had meetings today? Well, he's already there. You going to court today? He's already gone before you. His shadow precedes you and takes the full brunt. And when you get there, all you have to do is just be there, and he takes it. Mm-hmm. I love the Lord. I tell you, folks, I'm not just talking. I'm not just talking a fantasy. This is true. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. I have been amazed at the things that God has done for me.
Yes.
You know, I'm on my own. You know, I'm a single mom, you know, and I'm on my own. But I have been amazed at the things that God has done for me. Things I didn't know anything about, that I had no idea about this business transaction. Or, but here I go. And I get there, and oh, he meets me there. He meets me. Okay. He meets me. And I'm telling you, it is so easy. And I got a good deal too, Terry. I got a good deal. I'm like, what? What? Oh, my goodness. I get in my car and I just scream. He was with me. He was with me. His shadow. I was under his shadow, you know, as I went in. And he took care of everything. Oh, my goodness. As the scripture says, he has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You want to experience that? Then you need to get under the shadow. And the shadow is going to, you're going to get under the shadow in the secret place. Oh, I love that. David knew what it was to be under the shadow of the Almighty. His own son was plotting against him. Oh, but he was under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, and even though he went through some hard times, man, he came bouncing right back, didn't he? David died king, the greatest king Israel had ever seen. Oh, because he lived under the shadow of the Almighty. So you want to be under the shadow. When you meet with God in your secret place, you come under his shadow and are protected. Under his shadow, you begin to hear his voice throughout your day. Your conversations with him become more regular and intimate. When you're under the shadow, you can hear his voice all throughout the day. You will interact with people, and the Lord will give you things to say and things to do, you know, and some things you didn't want to do. Buy them a coffee. Oh, after what they did yesterday, buy them a coffee. Yes, Lord. Not only will you buy the coffee, but you'll like buying them the coffee. See, that's a change that takes place in you, because I'm like, you know, I should be upset, but I'm really just glad to get you, just give you a coffee, just buy you a coffee. You know, I should be upset with you after what, how you behaved yesterday, but come on over here and give me a hug. You know, I like to hug my staff in the center. Just come on over here. And like, I was baby, just in my office, I had to tell them something. I said, come on over here, let me give you a hug. And that's the Lord speaking. I'm telling you, when you have that scheduled time, when you have that, oh, I'm telling you, something's going to happen in you because you're under the shadow. See, the shadow, and you're going to know it, and you're going to say, you're going to hear him. You're like, oh my God, I think I'm under your shadow. I'm hearing you. I'm doing things that I know is not me. It's something different. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, in your lesson, it says, we are encouraged to pray without ceasing. This means never being far from the attitude or action of talking and listening to God. And that's from our book on page 54. Or under his shadow. It is the same thing. Just not just in quiet moments, but also in our chaos. It should be in our chaos that we we are under the shadow. You have this peace of God that comes over you. And you're like, I should be nervous. I should be agitated. But Lord, for some reason, your peace is with me. You are with me. He gives you this peace because he's always there and he always cares. And I love that. When you are in trouble, you automatically go to the one you're closest to. How often is that God? How often is it God? Oh, I'm telling you, when you start to dwell under the shadow, you automatically go to him. Like, Lord, okay, you saw what just happened. I don't even have to explain it. So I'm just bringing it to you. I'm just letting you know that I'm acknowledging you in this. And let him know that I'm bringing it to you. You know, again, we have to understand this relationship with God is just like any other relationship. It has to be taken care of. It has to be watered. It has to be cultivated, you know, and God wants that. You know, he's been there. He hasn't left. It's us that we go through the day and we ignore him, but we want to get to a place that we are always there. He always there and he always cares. He always, oh, I love the way he confirms things. That's another thing that you'll find in the secret place. As you go in that secret place, you'll find him confirming things that he talked to you about that morning. And you will know it's not a coincidence. Please don't mark it off. Oh, that's just a coincidence. It's not. It's not. I'm telling you. He's letting you know, I mean, I'm near. I'm close. I see you. I see you. The Bible says he knows how many hairs on your head, if you can imagine that. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. That's how well he knows you. So again, you want to think about when you're in trouble, where do you go first? What is your first thought? Because when you're in trouble, don't you automatically go to that person? You know who I mean. The person you go to automatically when you're in trouble and tell them what you need to tell them. Many of you, it's your spouse. You know, you can tell them, this is what happened. This is the situation, you know. But how often is that one God? The next point in your lesson says, your secret place before God is the place where you are completely known. Oh, I love this part. Nothing between your soul and your Savior. You are completely secure as you are fully exposed before him. And we've got to get here. You know, I mean, we know that God knows everything. We know that. We, you know, he's omniscient. You know, he knows you before you were even got on the planet, before, while you were still in your mother's womb. He said he was knitting you in your mother's womb. And I knew you from the very beginning. I've seen every day of your life. We understand that God knows us. But sometimes we still have these walls up with him. We try to have these walls up. You know, it's like trying to hide yourself from God, and all you got is plastic wrap. He can, he sees right through the plastic wrap, but yet we still try to hide from God. You know, sometimes we're mad at God and won't act like, you know, we're mad at God, you know, because we won't come to church, you know. And we'll make an excuse to everybody else and won't speak to God. And God knows. He's just waiting. He's like, okay, we'll just wait till you're done.
Have your little hissy fit.
You know, like David. I hate them. I hate them with a perfect hatred. Nevertheless, Lord, know my heart. You know, so again, we wanna get to a point where we're taking those walls down. I know, because I had to go through that. You know, I didn't talk to God about everything going on with me. You know, I didn't talk to him about my insecurities and my fears. And, you know, I wanted to have this facade with God like I had with everybody else. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, I just thank you for, you know, but not getting real with him. Lord, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Lord, I'm afraid to go into this meeting, Lord God. You know Sally's going to be there. You know how she always comes at me, Lord, and I'm afraid.
Sally.
And Lord, Sally's quick with the tongue, you know. And Lord, I'm kind of flub up when I talk, you know. Like Moses had to go before Pharaoh, and they said Moses had a stutter. And he couldn't talk. And I don't know if you guys ever saw that sermon when T.D. Jakes was talking about this. It was, and he was said Moses was talking to God, and Moses, God told him to go to Pharaoh, and he says, God, I can't talk. And I'm like, you know, and that's why Aaron was his spokesperson. But just coming to God and being real, you know, she's going to be there, Lord, and I'm full of anxiety. You know, oh, God, the holidays are coming up, and you know I got to see Aunt Mabel, and you know how she does. She's gonna ask me all the questions about my business. You know, there's been some trouble with my kids this, and I know she read about my son in the paper, and she's going to bring it up. You know, being real with God.
Yes.
And talking to him. You know, the fears, the anxiety. See, that's what builds intimacy. You know that person that you pour your heart out to. Like, oh, and you're close to them. You trust them. That's what God wants with you. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I don't want to do this. I know I've got to do it. It's my job. I got to go do this. But Lord, I got to tell you, I'm afraid. I've never been in this setting before. Oh, Lord, I got to go to court. I'm already embarrassed that I have to go to court. But, Lord, what if they rule against me? What if they rule against my child? What if they, oh, Lord, I bring it all to you. See, these are the types of conversations you need to have with God. Expose yourself to him. He already sees it. Take down your plastic wrap, okay, and let him, you know, just meet with him and tell him your fear and tell him your insecurity and tell him your guilt. What are you feeling guilty about? Oh, because see, that's a hindrance in your relationship with God many times. We won't do things for God. We won't do things in his church because we feel guilty about things. Oh, I'm one. I had to bring my guilt to God. Lord, I feel guilty. I did it, Lord. I stop justifying it and just bring it to him. Lord, this is what I did, Lord. I can't blame anybody else. I've blamed people long enough. This is what I did, Father. And I'm bringing it to you because I know the blood of the Savior will cover it, Lord God. And I've carried it. Even though I know you, I've carried my guilt of what I did. Bring it to the Lord. Folks, there's so many awesome things that happen in the secret place. You are set free in the secret place. Expose yourself in the secret place. Oh, tell God how they hurt you. They hurt you so bad. I know you put on that stoic face. And I know you held back the tears. And I know you looked strong because sometimes we have to be strong for the children and for the other ones. We have to be strong because we're leading. And we've got to be strong, but in the secret place. Oh, you can cry. You can let it go. You can weep in the secret place before him. They hurt me, Lord. They hurt me deeply. That hurt me so deep. You know, sometimes, you know, you can't, you know, you held your tongue and you didn't argue back. And, you know, sometimes even family, oh my God, family. Family can stab you right in the heart and twist the knife, man. And sometimes they don't know Jesus. And sometimes, you know, oh. And sometimes they'll attack your religion. Won't they? Come attack. Mm-hmm. And you got to hold it. Because the Holy Ghost said, don't hold your mouth. But hold your mouth. Oh, the Holy Ghost had told me that. So he said, they're not attacking you. They're attacking me. Oh, they're attacking me, but, you know, you stand and hold it. And then you come in a secret place and you can cry and let it out. Lord, that really hurt. Mm-hmm. That really hurt after all I did for them. They came back and they hurt me this way.
Your family can be your worst enemy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can hurt you. They can hurt you. You know, sometimes your children, oh, they can hurt you, man. Oh, especially those little teenagers. Yeah. Those ones in their 20s. Oh, man. It goes on into the 20s. I got news. If they're teenagers, Hold on. Here come the 20s.
In the
30s. Yeah, in the 30s. 40s. Oh, Terry, please. I'm hoping. I'm hoping, Terry. Terry said the 30s and the 40s. We're just, you know, and they can hurt you. They can hurt you so deeply. But take it to the secret place. And God will, oh, as the song says, I just have a little talk with Jesus. I know I start all these conversations around the room.
And you guys can have kids. You guys, I told you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ring my bell.
I'm glad this simulated conversation. I'm really glad. You know, that always makes a teacher feel good when what they said stimulated conversation. Because that means you're listening and that means you're getting it, you know. But again, we're going to finish the lesson. We're going to let you guys talk. But again, that secret place, exposing yourself. Oh, man. See, that's where it really happens, when you can cry in the secret place and tell the Lord how badly and how deeply it hurt after all I did. Lord God, they still did this and said this, and they hurt me. And watch the Lord comfort you. You know, that old hymn, again, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear your faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Oh, hear the little prayer, we'll turn it. Know that the fire is burning. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Yes. Amen. Amen. So you expose yourself to him, and you expose all your fears, your insecurities, and your guilt to him. The next point in your lesson, the scheduled prayer sets the tone to pray without ceasing throughout your day. It brings you into the shadow of God and his Holy Spirit and develops a conduit or a conveyance for the transmission of something. That's what a conduit is, a conveyance for the transmission of communication, a place in your heart and mind to recall his word and time spent with him. You'd be surprised at how God will bring it right back to you. Things that you talked about, a scripture you read that morning, things that he will bring back to you. I was preparing the lesson, and there's a part of the lesson. I'm only going to do half today, and the next week we're going to do the other half. But there's a song that I'm going to bring in next week by Keith Green. Keith Green went on to be with Jesus years and years ago, but he sang this song that we're going to do. The name of the song, and I'm forgetting the name of the song, is put it in there. Oh Lord, you're beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Oh man, and then you probably know, but I'm going to bring it in next week, and they actually even have a video on YouTube about it. And I was writing the words out to this song, and you know, this is an old song, at least 30 years old. And guys, I kid you not, if you were listening to KTLF this morning, they played the song with Keith Green. And you know, and I was doing the lesson, and the Lord is like, you know, tell them. I felt he was telling me to tell you all when that happened. He's just whispering, I am near. And this morning he did it for me. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe they're playing this 30-year-old song. Lord, you're beautiful by Keith Green. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, oh, your grace abounds. Oh. And they played it this morning, and the Lord whispered to me, I am near. I hear you. I see you. You know, those things that only he would know. And that's what he does. There's a conveyance to us, a conduit of communication, a place in your heart and mind to recall his word and the time spent with him. God desires that prayer becomes an ongoing opportunity we take full advantage of. Quietly praising, thanking, and leaning on him at any moment and context in our minds and hearts. That's from our book. We become acquainted with God, and he becomes a part of who we are as we live on earth. We sense, hallelujah, the breath of his spirit continuously in everything. We consider him in everything we do and say. Oh, you know, what I'm describing here is somebody in love. Mm-hmm. When you're in love with somebody, this is exactly, you every free moment of your mind drifts right back to that person that you love and that you're in love, you know. Sometimes it's your children. Sometimes you can be in love with your children. Your mind just goes right to them. You know, your mind just goes, you know. Boy, you can grow in God to a point where your mind just goes right to him. Amen. You know, every free moment, it just drifts to him and the time you spend together. Because every interaction you have with people, he's there and you can see him in every interaction. You get to a point where you can just feel his presence in every interaction. You'll see the miraculous and you'll see things take place and you'll hear things that you never heard before, and you'll notice things that you never noticed before because you spent time in the secret place. And when you're under that shadow, you see things so much differently. You see people so differently. You don't just see the angry person. You see the pain behind the angry heart. And the Lord will give you what to say and how to do it. You don't just see the one that's always showing off, you know, the one that's always got to have attention. You don't see that anymore. You see a person that's very insecure, that needs someone to pay attention to them. That's why they do it, because nobody pays attention. And I need everyone to pay attention, that's why I do what I do. God will show you when you're under the shadow, you see everybody differently. And you can love them better. You know how to love now because God is showing you what he sees. He doesn't just see the angry person. You know, you see the person that hasn't had any respect all their life. And so they behave a certain way. You see the shy person sitting in the corner that won't speak up. They could be gifted as all get out, but they won't speak up because they've been treated a certain way all their lives. Oh, and God will show you and tell you what to say to bring forth that flower that's sitting, that rosebud that's sitting like this, that won't even open up. And God will give you what to say. This all happens, folks, I'm telling you, under the shadow of the Almighty. You see these things and you start to sense him. You start to sense his breath, the breath of his spirit continuously in everything. And you consider him in everything you do and everything you say. You start to consider him and you fall in love with him. That's what happens. You change. And then you're talking about being called the children of the living God. You are truly the child of the living God. The next one in your lesson says, scheduled prayer keeps us protected. We are in a continual battle where the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy us. And attention to the health of your salvation, of our salvation, is critical to our continued protection. And let me just make that personal. The attention to the health of your salvation is critical to your continued protection. And that's what that scheduled prayer does. It keeps up the health of your salvation. The scriptures teach us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. That's Hebrews 2 and 3. And you've got to understand, unbelievers do not have a salvation to neglect. He's talking to believers here. How shall you as a believer escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Escape what? The attacks of the enemy. We're surrounded by the hordes of hell every day. Oh, and how shall you escape if you neglect the health of your salvation? If you are not having that daily bread with him, how shall you escape? As I said, it's not a matter of how often you go to church. It's not a matter of how big your King James is. It's not a matter of all the stuff that we do and the crosses we hang in our homes and all of that. It's not a matter. Oh, are you spending the secret time? Do you have him here? Is he in your spirit? That's what he's talking about. How shall you escape if you neglect it? Your salvation, if you don't keep it healthy. If we do not take care of the gift of our salvation, we will be deceived by the enemy. You will be deceived. As I said, even D.L. Moody, that great preacher, D.L. Moody said, I leak. I've got to get with him every day because I leak and I have to get a refilling. The health of your salvation is your responsibility. Let me say that again. The health of your salvation is your responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's your responsibility. No one can do this for you. You have to decide to pray regularly. You have to decide this, to pray regularly. It's all up to you. It's all up to you. The feeding of your salvation cannot be casual or PRN, as it were, as we say in medicine, as needed. Mm-hmm. You know, I pray PRN. Oh, that's not going to work at all. You have got to be scheduled. It must be deliberate and on purpose if it is to be healthy. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, he put in the Lord's Prayer. Just as you plan your meals, you must plan your prayer. You know when you're going to eat lunch. 12 noon, I'm telling you, McDonald's line is out to the street. You know, because it's lunchtime, you know. You can barely get any work done between 12 and 1 because people are having their lunch scheduled. It's coming. And the Department of Labor tells you, you have to give people their lunch break. I know that because I run the center. You gotta give their lunch break.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, what? What? Yeah, that's true. If they work more than 6 hours, you got to give them a 30-minute lunch. So we have things that are scheduled, but do we schedule our prayer? Do you have your prayer scheduled? And if you don't, if you miss your meals, guess what? You're going to become weaker and weaker. At some point, you're going to become a little disoriented. You're going to become irritable. Why? Because your body is low on calories and it can't think, it can't process. And pretty soon, if you continue missing meals, you will die. You know, it takes about 60 days to starve to death, but you can do it. You know, it can happen. You know, yeah, it takes that long. Depending on, for a child, it'd be sooner. But
how long?
Yeah, about 60 days. About 60 really? Days. 60, 50, 60 days to starve to death, depending on what size you are. But long before then, you'll become disoriented. You don't eat for one day, and you'll become a little disoriented, you know, and things like that. So, again, 3 days without water. That's, I'm talking about food. Without water, 3 days. So anyway, we have to look at this as a necessary. The scriptures make it clear, how shall you escape? It's a rhetorical question. How shall you escape if you neglect your salvation? What do they call child neglect? If they find a child that's not fed, neglect. You know, that's one of the biggies. You don't feed it. You don't feed the child. You're not taking care. Neglect. How's the health of your salvation? You need to take an assessment. How healthy is my salvation? Is it thriving? Is it growing? I'm not asking if you're perfect in Christ. No, none of us are perfect in Christ. I'm saying, is it healthy? You know, is it growing? Is it thriving? As we come to the end of 2019, can you assess where you were in January of 2019? Are you the same? Is it just steady as she goes? Or is she growing? There are things that I've overcome this year, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I've overcome. Lord, I thank you. I'm ready for 2020. I'm ready to go to a different place in you, Lord. I'm ready to grow. And be deliberate about it. Write it down if you need to. Lord, these are some of the things I need to overcome. Date it. And then watch God do it. At the end of the year, go back and look at your list. Lord, thank you. I've overcome that. Lord, that relationship there is healed. Oh, Lord, thank you. That has happened. Oh, I'm growing in him. Lord, I've accomplished that. Lord, you brought a new mission into my life. Lord, thank you. Lord, you brought something different and special and fresh into my life. Lord, I did this. Lord, I went on a missions trip. Lord, I did, you know, just so many things that the Lord wants to do in you. If you would just, boy, get into that scheduled time. If you are afraid, then get into the scheduled prayer. He will dissipate the fears that you may have. I was afraid of so many things, folks, but I'm amazed at what God has done in my life because, you know, airplanes, somebody said airplanes. Okay, you write that down. I want you to write that down and just say, Lord, you know, this is something I have before you because I know that he'll do it. Because if you don't take care of your salvation, folks, it's not a if you be deceived by the enemy, you will be deceived. That's why the scripture says, how shall you escape? So it's your responsibility. No one can do this for you. You have to decide to pray regularly. The feeding of your salvation cannot be casual. As I said, PRN, it must be something that's done consistently and all the time. The next point of your lesson says, Jesus taught us the Holy Spirit. It says, taught us of the Holy Spirit. And he said, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall. Oh, cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I've told you. And that's John 14:26, and that's in the Amplified, the classic Amplified. So let's talk about this a little bit. And again, this talks about spending time in the secret place so the Holy Spirit can speak to you. Scheduled prayer time is a time to regularly engage with the Holy Spirit as you study the Word of God. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would bring things back to your remembrance. But you must have something of him to remember. You know, that's important. A memory, remember, as Jesus said, means that it was there and it brought it back. That's what remembering, that's the definition of remembrance. So there's got to be something in there for you to remember. You know, as you spend that time with the Holy Spirit, he will bring time, that remembrance of the Word of God back to you, remembrance of conversations that you've had with him back to you. What you remember of God and his Word will bring comfort, help, advocacy, and strength to you by the Holy Spirit as you pray repeatedly throughout your day. And always know this, and I tell this, whatever the Holy Spirit is bringing back to your remembrance, it's always going to line up with the Word of God. Yes. You know, don't let anyone ever tell you that the Holy Spirit is telling you something that is contrary to the Word of God. It always lines up with the Word of God. And I say that because the enemy's cunning, and he can't come at Christians full force. He doesn't come at us face to face because he knows we'll see him coming. So he tries to be deceptive.
Yes.
And, oh, let me tell you, do this. By the whole, you know, the Holy Ghost said this, and the Holy Ghost, if it doesn't line up in that word, it's not the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, they do not disagree. As the scripture says, Jesus said, he is my representative on earth. So don't say, well, Jesus said this, but I'm saying that. No.
Mm-mm.
And I just say that so that we can be keen and on top of things as we're in our prayer time. You know, and our time with the Lord, always check everything that you're hearing in your spirit and in your mind, check it with the Word of God and make sure it lines up there. You know, I don't care who is saying it, you know, it has to line up with the scriptures. I'll tell you, my former pastor back in Oklahoma, he's now teaching a new gospel that you don't have to accept Christ because Christ has already accepted you. You know, and it was such a heartbreak when he shifted and he made that shift, you know, and it was just really, and everybody was like in shock. And this is a person that was on TBN and was well known, preaching all over the world. Yeah, but that's the gospel that he teaches now. And I was like, I was really surprised. Well, everybody was really surprised and really shocked at this shift. But he told us, he said, that God told him. The Holy Spirit told him.
No, he didn't. That'd be
you know?
False prophets then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, as you spend time, but see, the thing is, the point I'm trying to bring about is, folks, I don't care how high up you are or you think you are in God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what kind of title that you might have in the church or otherwise. time. I don't care how long you've been in the church. As I tell people, I'm an old church girl. Church was the first place my parents brought me when I was born. You know, I was raised in the church. I don't care whatever credentials you may think you have. You need to be in the secret place. You need to have your scheduled prayer with God. Don't ever feel you get to a point where you don't need your scheduled prayer. You don't need your scheduled time. Many great men and great women have been deceived. Have been deceived. Because, if I was a betting person, I'd bet money. Because they didn't spend time in the secret place. Mm-hmm. Some people get so busy doing for God that they forget to spend time with God. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure, I don't care how busy you are, I don't care how great your work for God is, and, you know, always find yourself in that secret place. Always have that scheduled prayer going. Always, always, always have that going. Never get so busy that you don't have time to spend with the Lord. I don't care how great and how wonderful the things are going in life. And as I said, the most critical time when we get away from God is when things are going good. So be so careful when things are going good. As we have seen preachers rise and fall in this nation, you know, usually their ministries were going great, going wonderful. Thousands following, millions sometimes following. But remember the secret place. And I'm not saying that to point the finger or point blame at anybody, because but for the grace of God, there I go. I've been busy, and I know what it's like to, okay, I'll just pray in the car. Now, I'm not knocking praying in the car, but I'm just saying don't get away from your scheduled time with the Lord and your scheduled prayer. You know, if you haven't started it, start it. You know, especially as the days are becoming more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. Folks, I'm telling you, the days are getting worse and worse and worse. Scammers. So many people are trying to scam you these days. I'm blown away at the phone calls I get these days. People trying to deceive you and take your money and lying to you. And, you know, it's all over. Folks, you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be under the shadow of the Almighty. People being cheated out of their life savings, and they love to prey on people that are older. You know, they love to prey on them. So we want to be under the shadow of the Almighty. We want to be praying. We want to be finding ourselves, talking to God. You'll find that as you spend that time with the Lord, you'll find his word springing up in your spirit. You'll also find that he confirms it, as I said. Through a word from another, through a song sometimes. As I said this morning, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, this 30-year-old song, they're playing on KTLF. You know, they usually play the more contemporary stuff. Once in a while, they'll play an old song you heard, you know. But I'm like, of all the songs that they could have played, they played this one. And, oh, I can't wait to share it with you next week, okay? I'm writing out the words for you guys, okay? But I just wanted, because it was so beautiful, the Lord was talking about that prayer time, you know. So anyway, anybody have any comments?
I have a story. I was talking to Paul and they were telling me about this story of this little Muslim girl. She was on her way to a meeting underground, and she knew that if she got caught, she would die, you know. So anyway, she was walking, and the guard stopped her. She said, "Where are you going, young lady?" She says, "I'm going to my memorial for my brother." "Well, what's wrong with him?" "He died." "Oh, he died? Well, what are you going to do there?" She says, "Well, we're there, and we're going to have the will read." And that was the Bible.
Wow.
The will. The will is going to be read. And when he said that, "The will?" And she said, "Yes, the will, he died. And now I'm going to see what I'm going to get, the will." Uh-huh. And so he said, "Oh, okay, you can go." So she was able to, you know, to go by the guard, and he let her go. So,
Okay.
The will is the Bible. You know, she was going to Bible study.
Uh-huh.
And when he said, "Well, what are you going to do there? If he's dead, what are you going to do there?" "Well, we're going to have the will read."
Uh-huh.
And that was the Bible
the
study.
The Bible study. And oh, that was pretty good, yes.
The way that she talked herself out of it. You know, because, you know, if she would have said, we're going to Bible school. That would be it. You know?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So,
but yeah. No, we're going to have the will read.
That's wonderful. I got to remember that. Yeah.
When I heard that, I kept, what's he talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
So then my thing, I go, well, how neat. The Bible is your will.
It is. It is. The last will and testament of Jesus Christ. Yeah. 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 The Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the full name of that book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'll come back around. Yeah. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that the Spirit's been the artist. That's right. Not my sound, it's my friend Marie. We all know how great God's love is. And this past week through Marie, I have been able to see what love is all about.
Wow.
She has a sister-in-law that has never treated her with respect and always been very hurtful to her. And her sister-in-law has been in the hospital this past week. And the one person and Marie that's been for her has been Marie that's always turned her back on her. And of course, at me, I tell her, oh, why are you going to go? I said, she's got family. And she says, well, the one family she does have is in a situation with his father-in-law almost dying. Mm-hmm. So it's like Jason can't be in two places. Mm-hmm. And as hurt as she was when they found out that Joyce was in the hospital, she went right that night. And it's just showing how much love she has for somebody. So he's treated her so cruel. So, I just
that's and that's God love. Human love, like you know,
The old Marie would have. Yeah,
the old Marie. The old Marie hanging out with me and Karen.
Yeah. When I thank God she doesn't listen to me. Yeah.
She goes, why are you going to go stay with her? She says she treated you for 52 years bad. Wow. You know, And you have to see beyond,
Yes.
And
under the shadow.
Yeah,
under the shadow, you see them so differently under the shadow of the Almighty.
And I do. I see her different.
Yes. You
know?
Yes.
And I'm sure God's going to touch her heart and realize Christ's going to see.
Absolutely.
The one person she always
And she
treated.
Didn't let me feed her either. She let Michelle feed her, my daughter. But I said to myself, that's okay. As long as she's eating, that's good.
Marie, she's a Christian too. Joyce was a Christian.
Yeah, but you know how that when they, you know, in the olden, years, they just don't forget, and sometimes we, people hurt us, and we just have to forgive them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And tell the Lord, I don't want to carry that with me. You know, I'm up there in age already. I got to really get close to God.
Yes. That forgiveness piece is so important. Yes. And again, folks, I'm telling you, if you have trouble forgiving, spend time in the secret place.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be so easy to forgive and let it go.
Yeah.
And love beyond it.
That's
beautiful. Yes.
Well,
yes, go ahead.
Showing me a lesson.
Just kind of a perspective on that. I have a Christian counselor that I work with, and he always tells me when my emotions and everything are going crazy, or if you had an encounter like that, and if you wear glasses, he says, take off your glasses. He says, how do you see? And I said, everything's distorted. Mm-hmm. Everything's ugly. I can't see who your face or nothing. He says, now when you pray, he says, put your glasses on. He says, this is the real.
That's a good analogy.
So when you or anybody else are going through those things, when you put your glasses on, you see that person, like she said earlier, you see the behind the scenes, why they act the way they do. And then when you go into the prayer closet, you're able to pray for those things.
Yes.
But
amen.
That's a good analogy.
Amen. Thank you. That was an excellent analogy. And it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful because when God shows you that, boy, your heart is like something in your heart melts.
It's different.
Yep. And it, all those feelings you had for them just melts. And you have the forgiveness and the love of Jesus just overflowing in you. And it is so beautiful. You can't wait to see them, that person, and love on them. Anybody else to share? Anybody good? Okay, we can pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you for your beautiful word, Lord God. Oh, Father, it is just wonderful to us, Lord God. We just want to eat it up, Lord God, and digest it, Lord God, because it makes us better, Lord. It changes us. Oh, Lord, I pray. I thank you for that song by Jackie Velasquez. I get on my knees. I get on my knees. And there I am before the love that changes me. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you. There's power when we're on our knees, Lord. I pray that you would lead us to our secret place, Lord God. Will lead us to scheduled prayer, to meet with you regularly, to meet with you daily, Lord God. Father, that we would see the value in it. We'll see the power in it, Lord God. That it won't be something that we just do casually, but it'll be something that we will look forward to, Lord God. That we would rise up and we would meet with you in prayer so that you can set our agenda and you can set our day. And Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room, Lord God, that from this day on, we walk under the shadow of the Almighty, oh God. Oh God, we'll walk under the shadow. Oh Lord, that we'll see people as you see them, Lord God. That love and forgiveness, Lord God, and peace, Lord, and ministry, oh, Lord, would flow from our lips, Lord God. Oh, Father, that we would decrease and you would increase in us, Lord God. And we would recognize that we are not the same anymore, that we are different, Lord God, that we would recognize that we are truly children of the Almighty God. Oh, Lord, and we thank you for it, Lord God, because we know, oh, Lord, it's because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we can call ourselves this, Lord God. Oh, we thank you and we praise you and we thank you, Holy Spirit. Move, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, move. Continue your movements in our life. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.